And all week long, there was Bible study and prayer and worship going on here at the church, and it was really special. So we just praise God for a special week like that set aside. So I'm so thankful for how God's at work here at City Lights Church. And our little church, we're just, you know, a handful of people in this real diverse community. Yeah, God is at work here, and I praise him for everything he does. Here at City Lights Church, we're committed to loving God, loving each other, and serving our city. And we really got to do that this week, so I praise God for that opportunity. Let me pray for us as we jump into this morning's message. God, thank you so much for being active. Thank you so much for being what we need in the moment. Thank you so much that you're God in the high times and the low times. Thank you so much for the ways you've shown love in personal, individualized ways to each one of us that we can take to the bank. So thank you so much for just being so present and so active and so good. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we've been going through this series, looking at the life of Joseph, and really we're looking at God through the life of Joseph. So this series isn't about Joseph, it's about God. And what we're going to talk about today is when bad things happen to us. When things go on in our life, when something bad happens to us, we experience something difficult, we experience a trial or something really hard, and it's not something we brought on ourselves. You know, sometimes we screw up and then bad things happen as a consequence of that. So, right, sometimes I make a mistake and because I make a poor choice and there's consequences in my life. That's not this. I'm talking about when you're living your life, you're choosing right, you're following God, and then bad things happen. Whether it's a sin of someone else against you, whether it's some just event in the universe, whatever. So when bad things happen that are undeserved, not of our own fault, when bad things happen to us. I'm going to call it an injustice. An injustice, because it's not fair. It doesn't seem right. You're choosing right and something bad happens. We're going to talk about those times of injustice. And this is important because we live in an unjust world where a lot of damaged people are damaging each other. And as we're going about our lives, we're bumping into people who are making self-centered decisions for themselves, and I know we do it too. And as we do that, we damage each other, and we're wronged by each other, and we experience these injustices. And what's going to be important to understand in this world that we live in, where bad things happen, where things feel like they get out of control, and we feel wronged, and it feels unfair, and it doesn't feel right. This is our important main point I want to get across today is this. And it's your first fill in the blank. If you'd like to fill in the blanks, this is that. If you don't want to do that, no problem. Just listen along. That's fine, too. We don't collect them. It's not homework. So, all right. So our main point I want to make is this morning. Injustice is not evidence that God's lost control. Injustice is not evidence that God has lost control. This is important because it can feel like, here's what we often do. We love God. We know God's good. So when things are going good, we say, praise God. God's in control. God did that. We give God all, God's in control when things are good. But then when things are bad, it can feel like, oh, I guess God kind of sleeping on the job, missed that one, right? That stuff happened to me, and that, God must not have been in control in that moment. And it'd be tempting to think those times when things are unfair and we're wronged and we're hurt, and we're going through a hard time, well, then God's not in charge of the bad things. He's only in charge of the good things. But what we're going to see today, there is no limit to the sovereignty of God. He has control over all things. He can use even the messed up stuff of people. He can even use this messed up stuff for his sovereign plan. Even when people screw up, he could redeem that and use it for his perfect plan. And we're going to see that today in Genesis chapter 39. It's going to be our passage this morning. So Zoomers, Genesis 39 is our passage. For you, those of you in the room, it's printed in your bulletins. I'm going to read this through. This is the continuation of the story of the life of Joseph, and we're going to see how God's at work, even in this unjust situation that Joseph finds himself in. So leading up to this, we saw Joseph was sold by his brothers were jealous of him. They sold him into slavery. That was last week. Terrible stuff happened to Joseph, right? And not that he was perfect by any means. But we see that God was still sovereign through that, because their original plan, kill Joseph. And God orchestrated things in such a way that when they're, instead of leaving him for dead, he had orchestrated things to have them move over from where they originally intended to be on the major trade route to Egypt. So God orchestrated things, even though they meant to do evil, he's like, I'm going to move them over here, right where the merchants happen to be traveling by. And instead of killing him, there's going to be slave merchants traveling by, and those slave merchants are going to offer to buy Joseph. And I'm going to sovereignly move on their hearts, their greed, to instead of killing Joseph, to sell him and make a little profit. So here we are, people screwing up, and yet God's going to still be at work in the midst of people screwing up and doing evil. He's still at work. He's still sovereign. And so now Joseph has been sold to slave traders. He's being sent down to Egypt. And here in Egypt, we're going to see he is going to be sold to the house of Potiphar, an Egyptian, high up Egyptian guy, captain of the guard in Egypt. And this is what happens there. All right, Genesis 39. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. The Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Joseph put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. From the time he put him in charge of his household and all that he owned, the Lord blessed the house of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. So Potiphar left everything he had in Joseph's care. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. So we see God blessing Joseph. He's getting him promoted to head of the household, but yet he's still a slave. Now Joseph was well-built and handsome, and after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph. Uh-oh. And said, come to bed with me. But he refused. With me in charge, he told her, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he's entrusted to me and to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. Verse 11. One day he went into the house to attend to his duties, and none of the household servants were inside. Uh-oh. Verse 12. She caught him by his cloak and said, come to bed with me. But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. Verse 13. When she saw that he had left his cloak in her hand and had run out of the house, she called her household servants. Look, she said to them, this Hebrew has been brought to us to make sport of us. He came in here to sleep with me, but I screamed. And when he heard me scream for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house. She comes up with this lie. Verse 16. She kept his cloak beside her until his master came home, her husband. Then she told him this story, that Hebrew slave you brought us came to me to make sport of me. But as soon as I screamed for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house. When his master heard the story, his wife told him, saying, this is how your slave treated me. He burned with anger. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners are confined. But while Joseph was there in prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. Woo! That's quite a story, right? There's a lot going on there. Yeah, these kind of stories are in the Bible too, right? Bible deals a little bit of everything. In this story, we see Joseph experience this great injustice. Here he was doing what was right, faithfully serving in the house, doing everything he could do to do right. He gets propositioned, and instead of giving into that proposition, he stands as a man of moral character and says, no, I'm not going to go there. And he refuses. And yet, even though he chose what is right, he was then convicted and put in prison for the thing he withstood. This was, you would agree, this was an injustice. It's not fair. It shouldn't happen. It doesn't seem right. And yet this was the experience of Joseph. And what we're going to see, that in this story, that God was still sovereign and still in control, even though all this mess was going on. And it was mess. Lies, adultery, cover-up, false conviction, abuse, all this stuff going on. It's a mess. And yet we're going to see God is still sovereign, still in control, and still at work despite these things going on. So what we're going to do is look through this story to see how God's sovereignty is on display through this account with Joseph. And when I say God's sovereignty, I'm talking about the fact that God's in charge, that he's in control, that he's got this, that he can use the good and the bad for his better purposes, that God's in control. So what do we see from this? And these are, we see four things from this story about how God's sovereignty is displayed, things we can learn about God's sovereignty from this story. And I hope this will be helpful for us because we too experience injustice, right? Wrong things done to us. Like Joseph, this is an extreme case, but we've all been hurt at no fault of our own and by different people in different situations. So I want us to see God is still in control even when that bad stuff happens. Check this out. First, God had bigger and better plans than Joseph's immediate deliverance from injustice. First thing we see here is God had bigger and better plan than Joseph's immediate deliverance from injustice. Seems like if I were God, I would have shut this thing down before it ever got started. I would have closed the mouth of Potiphar's wife. I would have kept her away. I would have prevented this horrible injustice from happening. But God didn't. Notice he let it happen. He didn't. He allowed her to falsely accuse, allowed the king to get angry, allowed him to get thrown in jail for what he did not do. He allowed this justice to happen. Now, I don't think that means God desired this injustice, that God willed this injustice, that God was like, oh, I hope this happens. I really want this to happen. I want this lying. I want this false imprisonment. I want this injustice to go on. Because we do know from the Bible that humans are allowed free will. We're allowed to make choices. All through the Bible, we see humans making choices. And a lot of the time in the Bible, people are doing opposite of what God desires for them. We see over and over God revealing his desires for his people, all through the Old Testament, for the nation of Israel. God's revealing his desires for them. And over and over and over, and generation after generation, we see the people of God using their free will to choose opposite of what God desired, to be disobedient, to worship other gods, to turn to be like the other nations in the way they worship other gods and all that. And yet despite that, despite people disobeying God and doing what God doesn't want them to do, we see and continually angering God and disappointing God by their poor choices, using their free will for disobedience. And yet God's sovereign plan never gets interrupted. The plan he's got for his people still carries on despite all their disobedience. His plan to choose and redeem and bless his people and from them make an eternal kingdom that will be a blessing to all nations. That plan never gets knocked off course. Despite all the disobedience and wrong choices people make. So it's not like God is like, oh yeah, I really want them to disobey me and do all these wrong things. No, he allows us free will. And even though we choose things that God doesn't want, he still is able to use it for his perfect purposes. He's still in control. So here, God, even though he's not like, oh yay, I'm so glad that Potiphar's wife accused him of adultery, even though he did what is right. Yay. No, it wasn't like that at all. But still, he's able to use this screwed up situation, even her disobedience, this injustice, for his perfect plan. So yes, what Potiphar's wife did was evil. It was wrong. It was sin. God's not happy it happened. It was against the law of God. It was evil and wrong, yet God's able to use it for his sovereign plan. Because what you may not realize, if you don't know the whole story, this was critical in the life of Joseph. Because he gets put in prison. What we're going to find out down the line? He happens to go to prison to be right next to the prisoner next door to him is going to be the cupbearer to Pharaoh, who's like got close connections with Pharaoh. And we're going to see God's going to use that to eventually get Joseph in front of Pharaoh and to bless him and raise him up to number two of all of Egypt. He's ultimately going to be blessed through this. And that God's going to use Joseph to save not only Joseph, but also the Israelites, the family of Israel, which will eventually become the people of God, the nation of Israel, are saved through this because Joseph ends up in prison next to the cupbearer who then talks about Joseph to Pharaoh. So God is still sovereign, still at work. He still has a plan to bless Joseph and to save Israel, but it included he's going to have to go through some injustice. So, God had bigger and better plan than Joseph's immediate deliverance from injustice. God could have shut that thing down, but he had something bigger and better in mind. And so he allowed Joseph to go through this hard thing. I'm sure in the moment, Joseph was like, are you serious? I could have just done all that, which there part of me wanted to, but I didn't. I chose what's right, and now I'm in shackles. Come on, God. That's not right. That's not fair. But God had a bigger and better plan than his immediate deliverance from that injustice. The Bible tells us that we know in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. God's at work in all things, not just the good stuff, the bad stuff. The injustices, God is still at work. He's not saying those injustices are good, but he's able to bring good even out of that. Not that God makes the injustice happen, but he uses it for good. He's got bigger and better plans than our immediate deliverance. We need to trust in that moment. We need to hear this because we get wronged. Injustices happen to us. And so you say, God, why did you let me go through that? Why did that loved one pass away? They were so important to me. Why did this terrible thing happen to me? Why did I experience, why did I lose that job? Why did I get that house I wanted so bad? Why didn't I get that house? It's not fair. It's not right. God could even use those injustices for a bigger and better plan than our immediate deliverance. But it's still hard. So this message isn't, cheer up, God's got a better plan, it's all good. It's not that, right? Because it's hard. This was hard for Joseph. It's hard for us when we go through these things. But I want us to grant some perspective, to pull out the scope a little bit, to grant some perspective. So yes, it's still hard in the moment. That's why this second observation from this story is so important. This is the second one. This is why it's so important, because it's hard. Number two, God remained present with Joseph in the midst of the injustice. God remained present with him in the midst of the injustice. He let him go through it, but he stayed with him. He was present with him. Injustice could feel like evidence that God's not in control and God's not around. God, where were you? Why didn't you stop that from happening? Why weren't you present? Why didn't you prevent that from, why didn't you protect me from that? So God allowed Joseph to go through it, and he knew it was going to be hard. But even in the midst of the hard, he remained present with him. Look back at verse 2. Note the presence of God all throughout the story. Look back at verse 2. It says the Lord was with Joseph in the midst of being sold into slavery. Verse 21, all the way to the end, verse 21. Now he's in prison. But while Joseph was there in prison, the Lord was with him. Notice the presence of God, making a point of talking about it. And this isn't just, hey, God's always present, because we know you. There's nowhere you can go away from God, so God's always with you, God's always present. No, that's not this is. He's going out of his way to say God was with him. I think that speaks to a greater experience of the presence of God, that he was experiencing the presence of God in the midst of this injustice. God knows suffering under injustice is hard, but yet he blesses, he knows it's hard to go through it, so he blesses with experiences of his presence. Let me tell you about back in 2007, there were 23 Christian missionaries in Afghanistan. And in 2007, you don't want to be a Christian ministry in Afghanistan for obvious reasons. They end up getting captured by the Taliban. And there's these 23 Christian missionaries captured by the Taliban. Taliban stuck them in this pit, literally a pit with like this thatch thing over the top. So they're stuck in this hole. And they were subject to all sorts of abuse and difficulty and trial. And each day they would pull one out and kill them. They would execute one a day. And this happened until eventually they were able to negotiate the release of these missionaries. So they go through this horrible experience being prisoners, waiting to be executed by the Taliban. So after they're back home now, so they've negotiated the release, they're back home, they have a reunion of the surviving missionaries. And they all get together to talk about what life's been like since they've been home and just to reflect and all that. And they all sit in a circle and they're kind of making small talk. One of the missionaries raises their hand and said, I got to tell you, I miss being in the pit. And I miss being in the pit because God was so present with us in that pit. Christ was with me in that pit. now I'm home, and I got all the comforts of home, and I don't feel his presence in the same way. I miss the pit. And they all, yeah, me too. I wish I could be in that pit again, because God's presence was there. That even though they were experiencing torture and all these trials and lack of their freedom, God was with them. And they felt the presence of God. He's always present, but they experienced the presence of God. And that was way better than all the freedoms of home with all the comforts of home. That's how much the presence of God means, experiencing God in that way. I worry we lose sight of that in the midst of our comfort. We don't experience God in that same way, and we don't think it means that much, and we would much rather we choose all these other comforts, and we miss out on experiencing the presence of God, the significance of the presence of God. When we experience injustice, God's with us through that. He'll allow us to go through some hard things, but it's in those hard things that we can often experience God best. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they experience an injustice. They're thrown into the fiery furnace because they refuse to worship the king instead of God. And when they look in the furnace, what do they see? There's four in the furnace, not three. Because God was with them in the midst of that injustice. Stephen is killed, murdered by getting stoned with rocks, getting hit with rocks, because he was proclaiming the gospel. And people weren't liking what they were hearing, so they were killing him. In the midst of this horrible injustice, he looks up and says, I see him! I see the Son of Man! He's right there! He experienced God in a different way. So yes, injustice is difficult. It's hard. I'm not saying it's good. It's difficult. I wish it never happened to happen. But we can trust that God's got a bigger plan. He's at work than our immediate deliverance. And as hard as it is, he is with us through it. And that experience of God's presence isn't something to be just dismissed or like, oh yeah, God's always with me. No, it is something to value and cherish, being present with God, having him present with me and aware of his presence in that way. Third, we see about sovereignty of God from this. God blessed Joseph through the experience of injustice. It wasn't just that he was with him. God blessed Joseph throughout the experience of injustice. Look back, verse 2. The Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered. Verse 3. The Lord gave him success in everything he did. Verse 4. Joseph found favor in the eyes of the attendant. All the way now, verse 21, in prison. The Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor. So it's just that wasn't that God was with Joseph, wasn't just that he was present. He was also blessing Joseph. Did you guys catch that? This is no small deal. He prospered. He was a slave, and he prospered. He was in prison, and he was shown kindness and favor. We need to hear that we can prosper even in low status, in positions of servitude, can prosper as a servant, can prosper as a prisoner. Do you believe that? That prospering isn't tied to your status in life? That God can bless and reward even in the midst of low status, even in the midst of the struggle. I've known plenty of people with nothing that are happy and content. You guys remember Angela? She passed away a few years back. Man, she had every reason to be upset. Do you ever remember her not smiling and being happy in here? I mean, she had such joy. But yet, societally, you could say, oh, she had no reason to be happy. And I've known plenty of people who got everything the world has to offer, and they're miserable. So even if things are difficult, God can still bless in the midst of that, still be at work in the midst of that. And then finally, the fourth one. And this is a little added note here. Number 4, we see that God expects us to choose what is right, even when the situation's all wrong. God expects us to choose what is right, even when the situation is all wrong. Let's not skip over Joseph's extreme act of obedience here. I mean, that was some next level obedience, right? When he had this opportunity laid at his feet, to give into the flesh, and yet he stands up in this moment of obedience, not something to be skipped over. And this is a good reminder for us that an evil situation is not an excuse to act evil. An evil situation is not an excuse to act evil. He could have been like, you know what? I'm a slave. I've had to give up all this stuff. I can get a little bit of joy. I'm gonna take it. I'm gonna take this moment. But he didn't. An evil situation, not an excuse to act evil. Just because you're on the wrong side of an unjust system doesn't give you the right doesn't give you permission to then act unjustly. So just because we live in an unjust financial system and you feel like you're on the wrong end of that, that doesn't mean you have permission then to run game and scam the system, right? Lie on the documents and make it come about in a certain way. Those things aren't connected to each other, and yet we feel sometimes like they are. God expects us to choose what is right, even when the situation's all wrong. No, I don't think there doesn't make a direct connection here between Joseph's obedience and the favor of God, right? We don't see that. He doesn't specifically say that, right? It's not like because Joseph chose what was right, God blessed him in prison. It doesn't make that statement. But do you think it's a coincidence? I'm not saying that we earn God's favor by our obedience. But is it possible we often forego God's favor when we turn to sin and disobedience rather than leaning into and increasing our reliance and trust in God? Instead of relying on God, I turn to make it my own way and sin and whatever it takes, and then I forego the blessing of God. So the question is, have you allowed the wrongs done to you to grow into wrongs done by you? We've all been wronged in some ways. And it's tempting those things, those ways we've been wrong can fester and grow into wrongs than we do to others. We act out in other ways. God expects us to choose what is right, even when the situation is all wrong. All right, let's close this up. In conclusion, I don't know if you needed to hear this morning. If you're in one of those situations right now, you're feeling like you're on the wrong side of injustice. You're like, God, where are you? Why aren't you working this? It'd be very natural to conclude God's lost control. He's not in charge then, because this is too terrible. But we see here, God can use even the imperfect injustices of the world to accomplish his perfect plan. That's how sovereign he is, how in control he is. Now, often that means we might have to go through injustice instead of around injustice. But remember, God's got a bigger and better plan than just our immediate deliverance, our immediate relief. But take heart. He promises to be present with you in the midst of the suffering. He promises to bless you in the midst of that injustice. We see that in the life of Joseph, and we see it in our own lives as well. So during your struggle, don't turn to sin. Don't turn away from God and say, God, you let me down in this one. Instead, lean into reliance. Lean into trust in God in the midst of the hardship. And watch him work out his perfect plan in you and through you. And then our closing encouragement is this. Last fill in the blank. Closing encouragement is this. Remember that Jesus also experienced injustice. If you're going through it, and you're really going through it, remember, Jesus went through it too. He knows. He did nothing wrong, was wrongly accused, betrayed by his closest friends, beat up, put in prison, murdered on a cross. Didn't deserve any of it. So when you cry out to God about the injustices you're experiencing, it's not like God's sitting up on a throne and says, oh, I wonder what that's like, poor little aunt. No, he knows. He's been through it too. He's like, oh, yeah, I know it's hard. He knows. He's been through it. But let's turn our eyes, put them on Jesus, the perfecter of our faith, to see us through those hard times and be reminded God's working things out, to look for his presence, enjoy his blessing, and continue to rely and grow in our trust in him. Let's pray. God, thank you so much that you are present, not just on the mountaintops, but also through the valleys. And God, I pray for anyone experiencing that here today, God, they would see your presence with them, turn their gaze back to you, and help them experience your presence and your blessing despite the difficulties of this world. Thank you so much that you're sovereign, you're in control, and the peace that that brings. And so, God, thank you so much for your great love displayed, even in the midst of trials. So we thank you, God, for being so good to us all the time. You're such a good God. In Jesus' name. Amen.